Lord, we just ask you to come. We ask you, Lord God, to minister by your word, that it would go to our heart, go to our spirit, and we are just open to you, Lord Jesus. We love you, and we trust in you today. In all of our lives, whatever is happening, we trust in you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. About, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was a pastor on staff, and we used to, back then, the pastors would meet at a certain time before service, I remember that morning that the Holy Spirit had spoken to me before we got together, and I was supposed to talk to Pastor Tim about it, and so I did, and I just said, God wants to do something special today. I go, I don't know if this is going to make any sense, but he's going to do it through weakness. And I don't know what that means, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that. And so I did. I told him that. And so he just goes, okay. Well, it turns out that morning that that pastor that came up here, the pastor on staff, he came up. And he began to do what he normally did for announcements. He got just a few words in, and he stops. And he was overcome with emotion. I didn't know what was going on. And some of you might have remembered this, but he couldn't speak. And he just began to weep. And so Pastor Tim came up, I remember. And he said, he asked us to pray for Ryan, and he just said, Ryan has had some really difficult news. They have really been wanting to have a baby, and so his wife lost that baby. Well, I didn't realize how serious and how much emotion that was going to bring out of Ryan, and but it was such a special morning because God worked through that weakness. And the reason I share this story is because what I'm going to talk about today is what the Holy Spirit does. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like talking about the universe or trying to explain the heavens, because the Holy Spirit, as we learned last week, is God, and he does so many things. I'm just going to mention a few of them this morning, and I want to just review last week. We discovered who the Holy Spirit is. That was the theme of last week. That is that the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's lots of other things, but those are some very important things to remember. And we found that God is three persons in one. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. And we found that there are many scriptures that support this fact. I'm just going to read one of them. And this one just literally says that the Spirit is God. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to one another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And I'd like us all to say that. The Lord who is the Spirit. One more time. The Lord who is the Spirit. It's very plain. And we go back to our theme scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's up on the wall out in the lobby. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, The things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The things God has revealed by his Spirit. And we know that Paul is speaking, we found this out last week, he's speaking of the mystery of salvation, the great secret. It was the secret throughout history. It's only revealed by the Spirit of God as he comes to live inside of us when we ask him in and when he comes to make his home in our hearts. He becomes the light of God in us. The light of God in us. And so the reason Paul is saying this is because before Christ came, this was the great mystery that they had. There were prophecies, there were all kinds of things that they were looking for the Messiah, but what they didn't really understand is that through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, through the blood of Christ, we would be able to actually have God himself by his Spirit come to live inside of us. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How will they have the light of life? By his Spirit that's residing in us. Now we're going to dive into some of the glorious things that the Holy Spirit does. And as I said, this is really a daunting task. As I begin to go through some of these things that the Holy Spirit does, and I was nearing the completion of my message, all kinds of other things were coming to me of what the Holy Spirit does. I mean, they just kept coming. I don't have time to go through all these. And there's more than that. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God, and so God does all things well. God, everything good is from God, and we don't have time to go through everything that the Holy Spirit does, but we will touch on some things today. And remember this, as we go through these, just remember this, that some of these things that I'm going to mention, it's what he does for us. It's what he does for us, but it's not just what he does for us. It's what he does through us. Can you put that on the screen? I think you have that. There you go. Thank you. It's not just what he does for us. It's what he does through us. And both are important. But if you really want to see your life change, if you really want to see your life make a difference, that second part about what he does through us, we're going to hit today, okay? All right, so what does the Holy Spirit do? The first one is he saves us and we are born again. Foundational, John 3:5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit. Now, this portion of Scripture is interpreted different ways by different people. One of the ways is that they take it that you must be baptized to be saved. Now, I don't believe that, and our church doesn't teach that. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change, okay? Being dunked in water does not save you. It's wonderful, and it's a command of Scripture, but that is not what saves you. That is an outward symbol, okay? Others, that this is natural birth, you know, the water. I began to think about that this morning. I'm not going to ask how many of you have had your water broken. Teresa's shaking her head. Don't do it. So some people believe it's natural birth with water and the Spirit. And That's not too bad. But when you look at some Old Testament scripture, this is what I believe that Jesus was referring to. It's in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. This is what I believe he's saying. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. Interesting word. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So I believe that Jesus was referring to this scripture in particular, in Ezekiel. And it foresees what God will do by his spirit after Christ is crucified. This is an Old Testament scripture. Water was a symbol of a renewed readiness for worship. Aaron and his sons, Aaron was Moses' brother, okay? And he was a priest. And the other priests, they had to wash their hands and feet before approaching the altar. The scripture says God's spirit will be within us and that we would have a new heart. So I believe that Jesus is referring to this scripture in particular. That's exactly what this is saying. Clean water, a new heart, a new spirit he will put in us, and that he will put his spirit in us. Okay? You know, the Bible also says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit when we believe. And if you're wondering, have doubts about your salvation, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, that's your seal. That's your proof. That's your ticket. That's your ticket, okay? So Ephesians 1:13, it's not on the screen. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you believed in him, in Jesus Christ, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Do you have the Spirit of God living in you? If you do, you can be assured you have the inheritance of heaven. If you believe that Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again for your sins, and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. He is your seal. He is your guarantee. He is your ticket that when we go from this life to the next, he's your ticket. And you get in. You get in. Okay. And it's all done through God. All right. So the Holy Spirit causes us to be able to sincerely confess that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the what? Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So this confession, it's not the words that save you, okay? That's not what this is saying. It's the belief in your heart and the confession of that faith. That heartfelt confession, that comes only by the Spirit of God. You're only able to confess that, to say that sincerely, authentically, by the Spirit of God. And it's a result of what has already transpired by the Spirit. It's not, if I just say these magic words, we get caught in these kind of things sometimes. If I just say certain things, then poof, you know, something magic happens. No, it's what God does in us, and then the Spirit does that within us, and then we confess, okay? And that's by the Spirit of God. All right, so the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome sin. This is the next thing, Romans 8:13. And I'm going to go through these fairly fast. There's just a whole lot of them, but I've only chosen a few. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we know from this scripture that only by the Holy Spirit can we put to death the deeds of the body and live. So without this work of the Spirit, we perish. We spoke last week about the lies that Satan gives us and tells us, and it can happen in our minds or from outside sources like television, social media, radio, or other people. And I mentioned last week as well that, it's really most of the time the temptation of sin isn't that clever. It's that our natural self wants to do those things. Okay, so we're drawn to those things. Okay, but by the Spirit, we can overcome. By the Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body. Okay. The Holy Spirit, when we listen to Him and obey Him, enables us to overcome these things. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 10:13 to a lot of you. This is going to be a familiar portion of Scripture. And I think it's a Scripture that's somewhat misunderstood. Just read it face value, okay? Not maybe for what you've been told. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So we're able to escape the temptation of sin by God's Spirit. That's how we overcome it. Now, this scripture sometimes is misinterpreted, and you probably have heard this. You might have even said this, that God won't give you more than you can bear. Now, that sounds really good, doesn't it? That seems very comforting, but I just need to tell you that the Bible never says that. It never says God won't give you more than you can bear. That's not what the scripture's saying. It's talking about temptation, okay? Talking about temptation overtaking us, that God will not let us be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, there's always a way out. There's always a way out for you. Now, hold on, though. There's something better than not facing more than we can bear, okay? The scripture is talking about temptation to sin, and He does this by His Spirit. He'll always show us a way out. Now, you might think, well, how about tragedies? How about really, really tough things in life? I have had people say to me, you know, well, the Bible says that He won't give you more than you can bear, but this is too great for me. I can't do this. I can't take this. It's too great, and you're crumbling underneath it. Well, some things in life are that way. But the Bible has an answer for us, and His name is Jesus. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. This is Jesus speaking. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with My righteous right hand. It's not how much can I bear. That's not what the question is. The question is God able? Will God be with me through whatever it is we go through? God is able, and God is faithful, and He will be with us. Take heart, He says, I have overcome the world. We look to Jesus in those times. We look to Jesus all the time, but when things happen that are tragedy, That's who we turn to. It's not a matter of, can you handle it? It's, can God handle it with me? Yes, he can, when we look to him. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when it comes to sin, we are able to overcome sin by the Spirit living in us. So let's go to the next one. The Holy Spirit causes us to be more like Christ, to be sanctified. Sanctified. Doesn't that sound really religious? Let's find out what it means. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. All right, so we know from this scripture that all our efforts to pursue the holiness without which no one will see the Lord is only possible because of sanctification. Holiness. And sanctification means to be set apart by that holiness that comes from God. You're set apart. I can remember distinctly the Lord speaking that to me when I didn't know that was in the Bible. That's set apart by his holiness because of what he did. Not because of anything I did or you did. You were set apart. Okay? That's sanctification. And the Spirit makes us to be holy, without whom we could never measure up. And it's by the grace of God we are saved by his Spirit. That's it. And so he causes us to be more like Christ. Now, there's like two things to this, the way to look at it. And that is that we are, when we accept Christ into our life, we are made holy by his blood, by the blood of Jesus, and the Spirit comes to live within us. And so in God's sight, we are holy. We are holy. But then you may have noticed, you still make mistakes. You still sin from time to time. Hopefully that gets less and less. And that's that other part of sanctification, that where we're walking light through life and the Holy Spirit continues to ask us to do things. He helps us to overcome sin and we become more and more like Christ. The older you get after you become a Christian, you should be becoming more and more like Christ as the Holy Spirit works on you, on the inside of you, and you grow more and more and more. All right. The next one is that the Holy Spirit gives us godly wisdom, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, so we know from this scripture that we will be hopelessly foolish in this life without the Holy Spirit's ministry. We're going to waste our time on useless ideas, useless pursuits, and folly without the Spirit of wisdom. There's a whole lot of things in this life that we can spend our lives trying to achieve. But just remember this. This is how I just would like us to think about this. You know, it's not that the Holy Spirit will tell you every single thing to do. You have the scriptures. He will reveal the scriptures to you. Sometimes he does say, go left. Sometimes he says, go right. But he will always, always try to minister to you and to speak to you about overcoming sin. Now, there's things in life that we do. They're kind of those gray areas. Let's just be honest. There's probably nothing wrong with a lot of the pursuits that you might go after. Just remember, whatever pursuit it is, or pursuits, goals that you have for your life, pray about them. Ask God's wisdom. Ask God's wisdom in your life. You don't want to spend your whole life going after something that you were never supposed to go after in the first place. Okay? Ask God. Ask God to help you. Ask God to speak to you by the Spirit, and the Spirit will speak to you through the Word, and he'll lead you and guide you. Okay? Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. The next thing he does is gives us spiritual gifts. And I think I'm going to talk more about this next week. We don't have a lot of time this morning to go through a lot of spiritual gifts and what that means and what that looks like. God does give spiritual gifts. And I'm just going to say they're not all listed in the Bible. God does things that are not listed in the Bible that are very, very good. And he does them through us. They're good things that line up with Scripture. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a name to it. But I will say some of the examples are in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Say, for the common good. For the common good. That means these are for other people. These are to bless. These are to bless the church. These are to help others, okay? So some of the examples in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are wisdom, special knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and also the interpretation of those tongues. We as a church believe in these things. We are not cessationists. And what I mean by that is there are lots of people, actually good people, good Christian people, people that I know, who believe that these things don't happen anymore and that with the end of the apostolic age where the apostles were leading things, where the written New Testament, they believe that these things ceased. I don't believe that. This church does not teach that. Our denomination does not teach that. I think that these gifts are wonderful and marvelous and that they are God working through us by his Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. I'll talk more about that next week. But God's Spirit blesses us with spiritual gifts to bless mostly the church, okay, for the common good. So in learning what the Holy Spirit does, we must remember something very important. This is what I said earlier, that it's not just what he does for us, it's what he does through us. Through us. That's what we're talking about, these spiritual gifts, all of these things that the Spirit does through our lives. Again, these are not all of the spiritual gifts. These are just some of them. There's all kinds of things that the Spirit does through our lives for other people to help them, to help them. It's not to make you spiritual, okay? Boy, we can sure go down a wrong rabbit trail when we start thinking that way, that, oh, I'm somehow special because God used me to do a certain thing. I can remember praying for different people for baptism in the Holy Spirit once, many years ago. I was a pretty new Christian, and I was just kind of walking behind people. And then I walked behind one young guy, and I just barely touched his shoulder. And then, boy, it was like electricity went through this guy. And he just got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit power and began to speak in another language. And I remember, wow, what did I do? What did I do different? What did I do different to this guy? I didn't do anything. It was just God. That was just God. And so because God uses you in different things, that's just one small example. Remember, it doesn't mean that we are special because we are saved by grace, because God has made us special. But just always remember that it's God that does anything in our lives. And anything that he uses us in, it's because of him, not because of anything that we've come up with. It's that God has created us. Even the natural things, you know, you might be really good at something. Maybe you're a really good speaker. Maybe you're a great business person. Whatever it is, God has given you those gifts. God has given you your mind. It all comes from God. So there's no reason for us to get prideful about these kinds of things. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Okay. The Holy Spirit, another one, is that he guides us into the truth. And we mentioned this last week. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. I love that. How do we know the truth? By God's Spirit living in us. He guides us into the truth. And those of you that have been coming on Wednesday nights, we are in the middle of the Truth Project. If you're not coming, I encourage you to come at 6:45. And it's a wonderful time, wonderful videos. And we're learning about how God is the truth. And we will be learning more and more how it shows up, all the lies in our society, and how actually the way things are created speaks volumes about the truth of God. And it just goes into so many more areas. And it's wonderful, wonderful. But the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth. I love it. He'll show you the things that are to come. Now, I shared that original story to you about what sometimes the Spirit will do that. Sometimes the Spirit, and you have to have faith and consistently be with the Lord, but sometimes he will give you something that might happen. And in that case where the Spirit was going to minister by someone's weakness, and I didn't know it. I didn't know that's what was going to happen. I didn't even know that had happened with Ryan's wife. But Pastor Tim did. And Pastor Tim, when I said that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. But I know that the Spirit was preparing him for what was going to take place. And that ended up being the most powerful, powerful service. It's like, for some reason, it broke something in the people. And, oh, it was a powerful thing of what God can do, of what God can do. How do we know the truth? By God's Spirit living in us. He guides us into the truth. So the next one is, he raises us from the dead just as he raised Jesus. So this may be the biggest truth of them all. A couple scriptures. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If the Spirit dwells in us, if Jesus was raised from the dead, this is the scripture is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying that also means that you will be raised from the dead. What a powerful truth. 1 Corinthians 2:9, however, as it is written, we already read this, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? What has God given to us? What mysteries has God given to us? He has given us the Holy Spirit. And in that he has given us the Holy Spirit, he has given us himself. Your potential is limitless because you have a limitless God living in you. Now, I didn't plan on this. I want to go back to that scripture where in Ezekiel he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I'll try to slow down a little bit for our interpreter back there, for our Spanish-speaking people. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I love this in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This was prophesied hundreds of years before, that God himself would come to live inside of us. Okay? Your potential is limitless because you have a limitless God living in you. No matter who you are, there's no limit to what God can do. That means you're going to always have hope. You'll always have hope, but don't look for hope in the things of this world, Because things in this world go bad. Okay? You're going to look for your hope in Christ. Look for your hope in Jesus Christ, because your potential will be limitless. Okay? I can remember sitting with some friends of mine who were new Christians, and I had been seeking the Lord, and I had mentioned in recent weeks that I had had a big experience with God, like one I've never had since, and I kept seeking that, like this is what the way it's supposed to be all the time. I'm supposed to have this great experience, you know, boom, God's going to, you know, come down like he did and just give me this incredible revelation and all these things. And I've never had anything like it since. But I thought that's the way it was. That's the way it's going to always be. So I was really bummed because it didn't happen again. And as I was sitting there, this is going to be hard to describe, but I just remember the Lord did give me this. And it was like limitless, and it was like a road. I saw this road, and it just went, whoo, and it never stopped. I just saw this road, and I got so excited because God spoke to me again. But the thing is that what he spoke to me and what I've always remembered from that is that he is limitless, and what he wants for your life is limitless. He wants to do all kinds of things through you, through your life, for other people. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." The light of God's Spirit lives in us, and he does so many things. You know, I got done with this, and I thought, well, of course, the word says that he's also our comforter. It also says he's our counselor, and he'll minister to us when we are in need. And there's so many other things that the Spirit does. I'm going to speak next week on more of the things that he does, more of the spiritual gifts and that kind of thing. But for today, that's as far as I'm going to go on the things that he does in our lives. And we could take each one of these things and do a series on each one. But we're not going to do that today. If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. So here are the things that we went through today. That God saves us and we are born again. That he causes us to be able to sincerely confess that Jesus is Lord. That he helps us to overcome sin. He causes us to be more like Christ, to be sanctified. He gives us godly wisdom. He gives us spiritual gifts. He raises us from the dead, just as he raised Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people I know go on to be with the Lord. And sometimes I think, what are they doing? What are they doing right now? I know it's good, but I wonder about those things. It's just fun to think about. Are they singing with angels? Does God have an assignment for them that they're doing? Are they just walking through a garden? Maybe they loved flowers when they were here. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but I know it's wonderful and that they're alive and well. I want to say something to you, that hope is right at your door. I want to say that peace is right at your door. That the glory of God is right at your door. Take a hold of what God has given you and he has for you. Let the light of his Spirit shine through you. It's not just what he does for us. It's what he does through us. Now, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to go back to this very simple, simple things that we say over and over again. But it's just the truth. I suppose I could say it in different ways. But we need to pray. We need to spend time with him. We need to spend more than, praying before a meal or something like that. We need to spend some time with God and just pray. Read the scriptures. Pray over those scriptures. Ask God to speak to you through the scriptures. Do it on a consistent basis. This is something I always say. Sometimes I go, I'll hear other people say, okay, well, just get started by, reading a scripture a week or whatever. And I say no, because it's not that hard to read a scripture every day. It doesn't have to be a long one. And to pray every day. And do this for the rest of your life. Do you want to see change in your life? Didn't do that. Get to know God. Spend time with God. Okay? Spend time with God. And then he's going to do things through you. Because you're going to pay more attention as you go through your life, as you go through your job, as wherever you are, you're going to pay more attention to what God might want. There may not be this great, great plan. Okay, I'm gonna go here and feed the hungry. I'm gonna go here and make sure people have water or whatever it is. It may not be like that, but she's saying, Lord, I'm being obedient. I'm going to walk where you want me to walk. I'm going to speak to who you want me to speak to. I'm going to love wherever I go, every day, every day. And obeying the promptings of the Spirit that line up with his word as he leads you into all truth and purposeful kindness. Now, I mentioned last week that I really want us as a church to each day, I just want you to ask God, God, who can I bless today? It's not what you can do for me, God. It's who can I bless today? And this could come in all different kinds of ways. I've mentioned this before. Perry Atkinson said it. It could be a text message. It could be an email. It could be a... it could be praying for someone in particular. It could be blessing someone financially. Maybe you only got $20 in your pocket and you go, oh, that's $20. If I give that, I won't have anything. Well, if the Spirit prompts you that lives inside of you, God himself inside of you, then give that to whoever God asks you to give it to. However, you can bless someone else. Do it every day. Our church is going to make such a difference in the lives of people. I know there are some of you that do that, but if all of us do that and you don't walk away just, okay, well, that sounded nice. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that every day. God, who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me, Lord God, to help, to encourage today? I would love all of us to be doing that. All of us to be doing that. So would you all stand with me, please?